You are now tuned into Big Market Bites.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, everyone, and welcome to Big Market Bites. Coming at you live from the West Coast, I'm Cameron Green. And coming at us live from the East Coast, we've got Peter Dauber. Peter, what's happening?
Oh, a lot is happening, Cam. Once again, of course, every time we come on, it feels like something crazy is going on. You know, I just got done at Planet Arrakis. You know, I was in my Dune 2 screening. Absolutely loved. What a movie. Okay, and I'm coming in. You know, I'm braving the sandstorm. I'm going through. I'm riding the sandworm just like Paul was in the movie. Woo! And I'm coming out, and finally, I can see again. The sand is behind me, and what do I see immediately as I come out? It's Kelly Olynyk signing a $26 million contract extension with the Toronto Raptors, the hero, Cam, of Game 7 against the Washington Wizards, Kelly Olynyk. He deserves every penny, only for that performance that he put on just about 8 years ago now. So he's still
riding high off of that one performance, huh?
Exactly, and this is the money that he's always earned. This is that money coming back. Brad Stevens, he put in a good word for him, and he got him the
duck. Interesting. Well, it is one of the best value contracts, I would say, right now. For a solid backup big, sometimes can shoot, defend at a decent rate. Like, it's a really good contract for him, for this type of player, I gotta say.
He's the perfect modern big. You know, he can hit threes.
If he was perfect, his three-point shooting would be a little better.
Listen, he can hit threes, okay?
I swear, he's not as good a shooter as he was when he went to Gonzaga. It's wild.
No, that's definitely fair. That's definitely fair. He's bounced around the league a little bit.
Yeah.
Look, $13 million a year in today's NBA.
On top of what he's already making. So that's, how old is he?
You know, he's definitely an age. What that age is certainly a question.
Wow, he's an age, huh?
But he's 32 years old. Okay. So he's...
Wow.
He's
already 32. That's wild. Okay. But still, it's a good value. His game is going to age.
This has got to be his peak. You know, I mean, it's probably all downhill from here. But now he's okay. He's chilling. He's got his money. I think the Raptors, you know, I don't know what they're doing, what the strategy is here. But I love it that my guy Kelly got paid, okay? And at the end of the day, you know, solid, big. He could help a playoff team, theoretically.
Don't know what he's doing in Toronto.
Yeah. It's not a bad contract. They had him locked in. You know, $13 million a year is not a lot in the modern NBA.
It's really not.
You know, hey, maybe you make this move and come January next season, maybe we see Kelly get moved. I have low faith because, of course, this is Masai running this team. But maybe Masai's gone this offseason and we can really finally make some moves. I like the idea of Kelly maybe possibly making a return to the Boston.
Of course.
Could we see a trade? Maybe next season, you know, if we need a big. Obviously, we don't know what's going on with Al Horford. That's all I'm saying.
The word that Brad Stevens gave was that, hey, sign him to this deal because I'll trade for him next year and give you an asset.
Exactly. Perfect. Peyton Pritchard is available. Masai.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's make a deal. Scotty Barnes, Kelly Olynyk for Peyton Pritchard, straight up. Does that work? No?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Does it work for you?
I don't know why the Raptors would do that deal. But they make these crazy moves and I can't explain them. So what can I say?
Exactly. Masai, you know, you never know what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is totally possible.
Well, just as a note before we move forward. You know, Peter and I, we both are doing this podcast for the love of the game. So sometimes there's some breaks where we just can't find a time to meet. We tried a bunch to try to find time to meet last week, and it just didn't happen because life got in the way. Please bear with us. We do hope to have a lot more podcasts coming your way, especially this month, in the month of March. We have March Madness coming. We might be doubling into March Madness talk. Fantasy basketball playoffs are on the horizon. And my, I have two teams. One is tanking beautifully, and the other is crushing it, has the most wins in the league. Only two losses and one tie all year. So, yeah, it's been pretty dominant on this end for fantasy basketball.
I'm in a keeper league with some of our friends. I'm in, I believe, fifth. I just had a fierce battle with the guy in fourth, and I unfortunately lost that. So we're staying at fifth.
How many make the playoffs?
Eight
in your league.
Eight.
Okay.
So I'm feeling pretty good about my positioning. I did win this league last year. Okay, and it's a keeper league, so I got I got Jokic on my team.
Trying to repeat.
Yep, Jokic, Dame, Kyrie, even, believe it or not.
Kawhi, Why the slippage?
Huh?
Why the slippage from you this year?
I made a mistake, Cam. This is a keeper league. We can keep five players. Okay, before the season, so there were four easy keeps, right? Nikola Jokic, Kawhi Leonard, Dame Lillard, and Kyrie Irving. Okay. Easy keep. The fifth spot went either to Kristaps Porzingis or Bradley Beal. Now, problem here, two very injury-prone players.
Oh, my God.
A little different. And it really weighed on me. It weighed on me really heavily. And
you kept Beal, didn't you?
And, I decided that I didn't. I knew my Celtics season was going to be riding on Kristaps' health. I didn't want to double up. I didn't want my fantasy season to double up on Kristaps Porzingis, so I went with Bradley Beal. And guess who's been hurt all year, Cam?
Bradley Beal.
And you know who's been mostly healthy?
Porzingis.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Exactly. So
No. He's been perfectly healthy to still tank your fantasy season and then get hurt during the playoffs to tank the Celtics season.
Oh, man. That would be too cruel. So That's where I'm at. It's been a little disappointing. We were able to pick up made a couple good drafts. DeMar DeRozan we have on our team. I have Jalen Green, nice. Which hasn't exactly worked out. I was really hoping to get more from him. Didn't exactly work out. We took Robert Williams. He got injured right away, so that hurt. You know, but I'm feeling pretty good. You know,
I saw a post on Instagram, and it was like some kid in 2050 is going to find highlights of DeMar DeRozan and be like, this guy's the greatest player of all time. and it was like five plays of him doing like these spin twisting passes where he's doing like a 360 in the air and passing it to someone. Just like from this year on the Bulls. And it's like he's had so many highlights over his career. I think he gets a lot of unfair flack. I think he's probably one of the most underrated players, especially after he left Toronto. People kind of pigeonholed him as this player who can't win. When he became a winning player on the Spurs, I believe. And I think if he was on the right team, he would have a chance to win. But I digress.
I do think he could definitely contribute on a winning team. I was the guy peddling the DeMar DeRozan to Philadelphia stuff just earlier this year. So we never know how that would have worked. Yeah, you know, but I still believe in that conceptually, and maybe one day it'll happen. I mean, so, you know, it's tough when you get traded for a guy and then, like, you spent all these years in Toronto and coming so close, and it just couldn't happen. And then once you leave, they immediately win a championship. And I think even though that's not DeMar's fault at all, because they also changed the coach, and obviously they never had Kawhi, and no one was saying DeMar DeRozan is Kawhi Leonard, and that's not DeMar's fault. But at the same time, just that, I think that looks bad. You know, you say, hey, you ship out DeMar, and now you win. Mm-hmm. It's tough.
Totally. Well, for my fantasy team, we also did keepers. One, two, three, four, five, six keepers. So I kept Tyrese Halliburton, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Chet Holmgren, who I drafted with my last pick and kept him on the injury on my bench all year.
There you go.
Giannis, De'Aaron Fox, Alfred Sengun. That alone tells you why I'm dominating.
Yeah, that's a really good list.
Yeah, and then I got Cade Cunningham, Herb Jones off the waiver wire, Suggs off the waiver wire. I got Turner, Michael Porter Jr., Middleton just on my IR, and Malik Monk, who's been just killing it lately. I got him to replace Middleton. So it's just top to bottom dominance. I'm always winning blocks, steals, rebounds, field goal percentage, you know. And then Halliburton has been not quite as crazy good as he was at the beginning of the year. He's obviously still dealing with, he doesn't trust his hamstring right now.
Yeah, he's still...
just, shooting threes and driving to pass.
He's not 100% anymore.
Yeah. But he's just playing to get to that 65-game limit, I think, so he can get the Supermax, which is just a shit position to be in as a young player.
And then, obviously, he's trying to play himself back. Because, you know, they have the playoffs, and they have some playoff hopes, and so, you know.
It's almost like, do you sit and maybe not get the Supermax, but maybe do better in the playoffs? But that's just your money.
And exactly. It's your money. And so that's so tough. And it's more reason why I never loved that all NBA was tied to contracts like that. And I think when you add in the 65 game limit, it makes it even worse. I'm not a huge fan of that, but it's... I was actually really surprised that the in the new CBA that they didn't negotiate that out, or at least something like
figure something out,
maybe
some sort of not having it be voter related, because you know these voters. Anthony Davis wants that Defensive Player of the Year. He sends every voter a little gift, you know, and that's I don't want to say that they're taking that bribe because he hasn't won it yet or anything like that.
Yeah.
But that's got to be in the back of their head, so some of this stuff, and just a crummy position to be in, honestly. Yeah.
But
I would love to be in that position myself.
I mean, do I want to take the millions of dollars of generational money, or great position to be in.
Being a voter, I would love to be in that position.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, give us votes. Listen, this podcast has been running for less than a year. NBA, we're ready.
Give it to random fans. Make them the voters.
Give it to random fans, but they have to take a ball knowledge test first. They have to it's 2,000 questions written entirely by Ben Golliver.
Yes.
He'll do it. And then we'll make them take the test. They have to
number
score
one question
95% or higher on this.
Number one question is there an asterisk for the Lakers bubble ball championship? That's the
first question. Yeah. And don't worry. The last 50 pages, those are all room for your essay at the end, explaining why you love basketball, why it's the greatest sport of all time, why the awards matter, all this stuff.
There is no multiple choice. You have to write in your answer.
Yeah, every single answer. Every single application will be reviewed by a panel of NBA experts. Okay? Which it's just Ben Golliver and Bill Simmons. Let's go. It's just those two.
Yeah, I guess. That's fair. I guess I accept those terms.
Yeah.
Peter, today we were actually going to do a little catch-up episode talking about some games that we've watched recently that were close. Generally close. I think you had a couple of games that didn't end close. But essentially, I'm a new dad, so if there's not enough time for me to watch a whole game, I'm at least watching the close games last 5 minutes, because I think that's where you learn the most from about these teams.
Absolutely.
So I most recently watched the Clippers Timberwolves game, which was my type of game, low scoring, defensive battle. But Kat just kept shooting the Timberwolves in the foot over and over again in crunch time, throwing the ball out of bounds, taking these dumb three-pointers, bad rotations on defense, you know. And I mean, I'm already breaking one of our rules. I watched another Timberwolves game against the Kings that went to overtime.
Oh, yeah.
Similar thing. Cat shot them in the foot again and again. And it's like Chris Finch really has to consider just taking Cat out in crunch time sometimes when he just doesn't have it. Because I know the spacing is important, but you have Naz Reid who can step in. You have some other decent pieces on the bench. Like, I don't know. Cat in the end of the game, he just gets in his own head. And he just makes all these mental mistakes, and it hasn't changed in years.
I think definitely, you know, I would argue, I mean, you still want him out there. And I would argue to keep him out there, but I would definitely argue, listen, take the ball out of this guy's hands. Don't let him control the offense. Give it to Anthony Edwards, who is, you know, your star, or even Mike Conley, who's, I mean, he's been
so solid. And he's so solid.
He is, at the very least, you know, someone who has been in these positions, been in close games. He's done it a million times. And I feel like...
Anthony Edwards, you know, had one really bad turnover where he drove to the basket and threw it to nobody, just threw it to the other basket.
Yeah.
And Norm Powell did a windmill dunk.
Yeah, it's tough. That one's tough, obviously. Nobody's perfect on that team. But, I mean, Cat, you know, it's just, yeah, like, I agree. Like, sometimes it's just like, why are you taking this shot? Why are you doing this? This little thing, he make these little mistakes, and this is something we've seen from Cat before, is not somebody who is a biggest Carl Anthony Towns believer. You know, there's definitely moments where you're kind of just sitting there like, what is this guy, like, what is this doing? Like, obviously we had the play-in game a couple years ago where Cat completely was just terrible in it, and then he's had a lot of these kind of like stinkers of these just bad moments. And even now, when the Timberwolves are doing really great, you're right. Sometimes it's just, he just wants to make you want to pull your hair out. And I don't like it. You know, he's much better than Julius Randle, at least, you know, I feel that way, theoretically. But it feels like almost kind of the same thing, like the same, just frustrations. But I know
And the Timberwolves offense is just begging for spacing, so that's why you can't take him out.
Yeah. Because he is a really good shooter, and you can't take that away.
It just doesn't seem like he ever hits a shot in crunch time. Like, unless he's on a roll already, and they've been feeding him or whatever. But it's like, if they go away from him for a little bit, he, like, gets out of rhythm. And then it's like, he has to shoot as soon as he touches the ball the next time. And so he takes it, he just shoots it, he rushes the shot so fast. And it's like, dude, like, that would have been better if he just took a second to shoot it. Like, or fake it, drive. Like, he gets some good stuff going to the basket sometimes. But Rudy Gobert has just been extremely impressive to me. His defense, his rebounding, even some of his passing. He got an offensive rebound and did a no-look behind-the-back pass to a cutting McDaniels, who dunked it. It was so sick. And I love how he's just... I mean... For some reason, I watch these games and I become a Timberwolves fan. I just I'm rooting for them to grab the rebounds. I'm rooting for them to dunk it. You know, I'm rooting for them to make the shot. And I'm like, why am I rooting for these guys? It's because I love defense.
Yeah.
And I love toughness and I love bigs. And I just it takes me back to the golden age of basketball when it wasn't so easy to score. So that's one reason I just really appreciate these Timberwolves. They are the number one seed, and I feel like nobody talks about them.
I think everyone's expecting them to fail. I think that,
yeah,
totally. First of all, but I really love, I gotta say, I love a team, I don't want to say without a star, because obviously they have two all-stars, and you can even kind of argue they should have had three, but like, I feel like Anthony Edwards, you know, he isn't that top five guy. He is really, I think, right around top 15, I think is where you could comfortably say, somewhere along that lines. And I kind of love that conceptually, like as a thing. You know, I love a team that's a team. I love a team that plays together, that isn't super heliocentric, that, you know, they need every single piece of the team to work in order to make it work. And I kind of love that about this team, is that Ant is great, but he isn't KD, you know? And Rudy Gobert is an amazing defender, but he also has pretty large holes in his game. And then Kat, obviously, even without all these like little weird late game meltdowns, is, you know, as is the guy who was a number one and couldn't get it done, and now kind of has to be a number two, but he never actually left his the team that he was a number one on. And I feel like that like that's like a weird tension that seems like it's been resolved, but like I don't know.
Yeah.
In my brain, I'm just like, that's like a fun little story. It almost feels like you have all these like kind of quirky characters that like it would make it like a great, like, I'm a big Haikyuu fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big Haikyuu fan, you know, the volleyball anime. And it's okay. Very cute, and it's very like, you know, each volleyball member gets their own little thing and has their own little thing, and you just love following them. You just love rooting for these guys.
Right.
It feels like that. They all feel like little characters in an anime about basketball. It's like, here we go, guys. You know what I mean?
And it's a flawed big three, and it's like, if they won, it'd be such a great story. It would.
Yeah, because the Timberwolves have never done anything other than that one single time where KG almost just will them to the finals. and so, like, you know, you got to be happy. And obviously, Minnesota sports in general has been fairly miserable for the past forever. So it's like, you can't help but just, you know, in the NFL, the Detroit Lions, you know, they made it to the NFC championship game for like first time in forever. And that was a big thing this year. You know, hey, cross, you know, Michigan, Minnesota, not too far away from each other.
Yeah.
Not too far away. It might happen. We got to make some magic with the Timberwolves this year.
Peter, why don't you go ahead and tell us the most recent game you watched that was close?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, that Celtics Warriors game obviously was real nail biter. There. No.
I even saw some Lakers fans thinking that was funny.
I really, this is not the question you asked me, but I'm going to talk about it anyway, because as a Celtics fan, I just can't help it. But I it's been kind of crazy to watch this team just dominate, because the Mavs game as well, like, I'm like, oh yeah, like, let me talk about one of the close Celtics games that happened recently. There aren't. There's a Warriors game that we destroyed them by 50, and then there's a Mavericks game that we beat them by 28. Like, those are the most two recent Celtics games. And it's a really weird feeling, because that Mavs game, I turned it on. I remember turning it on, I think, like, midway through the second, or no, I turned it on at halftime. I was like, all right, I'm going to watch the second half. I'm going to watch the Celtics blow this. It's going to be fine. But I'm going to be here. I'm going to be rooting for them. And then they just blew the doors open on the game. And it was a close game. And then it just wasn't anymore. And that's how it felt. And then the Warriors game as well. I actually was watching Dune while this game happened. So I was not able to watch it in real time. I went back and watched it. And like, I got out of Dune 2. I was like, that was incredible. That was an amazing movie. Check my phone. And immediately I checked the score. And it's like, I don't even know. It's like 100-40 in the end of the third quarter or something. And I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean? That's crazy. And I don't know. Just, you know, I know everyone hates the Celtics. And here I am vomiting joy over the Celtics being so good. It's great radio for everybody.
Yeah, they're really on a roll right now.
I you know, it's really weird. Obviously, for me personally, you know, big Ravens fan. Big O's, well, casual O's fan. But, you know, the O's this past MLB season were the one seed. They were dominant. And then they didn't win a playoff game. They got beat by the they got swept, Cam, by the Texas Rangers. Now, the Rangers did go on
to win the championship.
World Series, so we could say, hey, you know, we got beat by the champs. Okay, fine. We're the one seed. Okay? The Ravens, one seed, dominant season. And then who do we lose to? AFC Championship game. We lost to the eventual champions.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the same season. Now, here we are. Boston Celtics, one seed. They look absolutely amazing. I can't help but just I'm seeing a pattern here, and
definitely.
I'm like, I don't do this to me again. The O's, that sucked. The Ravens, crushing. if this happens again, like, let's say the Celtics go to the Eastern Conference Finals, I don't know, whoever they lose to somebody, the Heat, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Pacers, who cares?
The Knicks, the Cavs.
Lose to anyone. And then that person that, watch, if the Celtics lose in the playoffs, that team is winning the finals. Because that's just how this has worked for me this year. And it's just, it's almost too brutal of a thought to think about, but I just can't help myself. I'm like, okay, I should pull back. Like, I should pull back for my own safety. I'm like, no, I can't pull back. This is it. This is the year. Here we go.
Isn't Porzingis kind of out right now, too?
He is. That's the other thing about the Warriors.
It's wild.
Game. Porzingis did not play in the Warriors game. I don't know if maybe they just, like, completely schemed against Kristaps Porzingis specifically, and then when he was out, they just threw out the entire playbook. But
well, they sagged off Jaylen Brown, which is odd to do.
Yeah, you know, this is the thing about the meme with Jaylen. You know, it's gone too far. The meme Jaylen's have gone too far.
Nobody said he couldn't shoot.
Okay, but nobody said that. This guy. Everyone's, you know, I've been hearing he's a bum. He can't use his left hand and all this stuff. And everyone's pointing out his inefficiency, which is fair, but still, it's a little overblown. It's an overblown meme, not to the point where the Warriors don't even respect him as a shooter when he is shown to be a very, very capable three-point shooter throughout his career. So, to me, I look at this, I'm saying, these people need to put some respect on Jaylen Brown's name. I understand the memes. I get it. He goes left, he turns the ball over, blah, blah, blah. He looks silly. I get it. But put some respect on this man's name.
Dude, he can make open threes, okay? Like, he proved that his rookie year. We don't need... I don't know what the Warriors were thinking. That was just dumb.
It did not work out. It really did not work out.
Ooh, backtracking just a little bit.
Okay.
The Clippers, they... obviously, they beat the Timberwolves. Well, they changed their jerseys, and, you know, they can change their logo, they could change their name if they wanted to. I mean, if I were them, I would think about changing it from Los Angeles to California Clippers, and just trying to garner, like, the entire support of California and being, like, the anti-LA Lakers, they have to stick with the Los Angeles, whatever. You can move arenas to Inglewood to where Kareem and Magic won 5 championships. You could even win the championship this year, the Clippers. You could do that. But you know what's never going to happen? You're never going to be as popular as the Lakers in LA. Ever. In fact, if you win the championship, it'll be the saddest parade you have ever experienced. Because Lakers fans will come out just to troll you and tell you how much you suck still. Which is not happening. It's not happening. It's the saddest move into a new arena in NBA history. The Clippers signed Kawhi Leonard. He was supposed to be the king of LA. That never happened. That never happened. They never dethroned LeBron. Even with all the issues the Lakers have gone through, the Westbrook years, the Clippers took Westbrook themselves even and made him better. And none of it mattered. None of it mattered. That you can even take the logo from my favorite baseball team, the Seattle Mariners, and no one will care.
I mean that's totally fair. You know, they're building this giant arena, they're like doubling down on the LA thing, but it's just, it's clear that, you know, LA is a Laker town. It always has been, and you know, that's all you hear and that's all I see is it's the Lakers. You know, when I never understood why. I understand the money, like, you're in LA and therefore you have a fairly lucrative, like, space. But I still look at it, I'm like, why, if you're going to put all this money into a new arena, why not put it in Seattle? That's where I'm at. You know, Seattle has a vacancy. You could go there, build a giant arena in Seattle, Washington, rebrand as the Supersonics, and boom. Here you go.
You have ravenous fans just drooling to have someone to root for.
Exactly. You'd be like the hero who brought the Sonics back to Seattle, and you're not even moving that far. You're just moving up the coast and to a horde of fans that have not had anywhere to go for the past, like, 15 years.
It would have been perfect, because I would have had every excuse to not root for the Supersonics. It would have been perfect. I could have kept rooting for the Lakers without any qualms about it if the Clippers went to the Supersonics, because then it'd be like, oh, they're still the Clippers to me. Yeah. I'm a Lakers fan, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know what Ballber's thinking, honestly. I just don't. Just don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
He thinks he can beat the Lakers horde, I guess.
Definitely can't. I've never been a big fan of like the sister city, the sister teams. I'm always in my brain. I'm always just like, you know, there are so many
Yankees or the Mets.
Exactly. There's so many fans out there in other smaller in and around other smaller cities, like Baltimore, for example, that would love
or the Cubs.
Right. That would love a team. I would love a team, truly. And the fact that it's like, no, 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 we need to have two New York teams. No, we've got to have two LA teams. Like, why? Nobody cares about the Nets and the Clippers. The whole thing is that they have no fans. That's like the whole meme, is that they have no fans and nobody really cares and the city doesn't really care. And even though the Nets rebranded to the Brooklyn Nets, they're trying to like take Brooklyn, like you know what? We'll try and take this one borough. I still doubt. I think if you pulled every single person who lives in Brooklyn and you said Knicks or Nets, pick one now. Most of them are probably picking Knicks.
Yep. Totally.
And I'm
saying they'd move from New Jersey into New York. It's like, okay.
Yeah. And it, yeah, exactly. And it's like you had a New Jersey, you had the New Jersey market. You could have, and there are so many other places. Obviously, like not just Baltimore, but there's plenty of other cities like Louisville, you know, Kansas City, St. Louis. Hey, even San Diego, where the Clippers used to be, is still like a market. It's still there. You know, yeah. I just, you know, and I know that it's because at the end of the day, these things are run by money and it's about people wanting to make the most money. But it's just, I, as a fan, I just sit there and I say, you could be another city's team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you sit there and you watch the Clippers play the Lakers for the last time in Staples Arena. It's supposed to be a Clippers home game. The Lakers are down by 21 points and LeBron just comes roaring back and wins the game, and all the Lakers fans are on their feet cheering at the last Clippers home game. They're calling it L'Eviction Notice. One of my favorite moments of the year, gotta say. It was so awesome to watch. And LeBron was just on fire, and he was just like, F these Clippers, I'm kicking them out of Staples/Crypto Arena. Like, it was such a good feeling. And, you know, I mean, Ballmer sitting there with a pout on his face, surrounded by Lakers fans. And it's like, what did you expect? But he still made money on all those tickets that got sold. So does he really care? So I don't know. Is he just trying to drive it up and make it so the Lakers fans get so into it that they buy Clippers tickets to be bitter?
I guess at the end of the day, you're spending money and it's not going towards the Lakers, it's going towards the Clippers. So
right.
That's Clippers money. And maybe that's ultimately the strategy. Just
stir up the hornet's nest. Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, it's pretty smart. That is like 5e chess right there, if he's really thinking that way.
Yeah. Like, I need these Lakers fans to really think they're better than us. So when they come here and they hate on us.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to another game. I also watched the 76ers play the Mavericks. Yes. The 76ers won by 120-116. The Mavericks were actually down quite a bit in the fourth quarter and made a little bit of a comeback. But there's another Mavericks game on my list and we'll get to it. But there's a little theme with the Mavericks, and I mean, it's not their fault I happened to watch two close games of theirs that they lost. But it's their offense is incredible. Luka is just like so dominant. Like, it reminds me of LeBron first in Cleveland when he had first figured it out and was just unstoppable. It didn't matter who was on his team. But the difference between Luka and LeBron is LeBron was a two-way player who could also help carry a defense. Whereas Luka is just giving up buckets, you know? Kyrie, giving up buckets. The rookie, Derek Lively, he can only do so much. He's not like a big body. He's pretty lithe, pretty slim. He does it the best that he can, but he can't anchor a defense by himself. PJ Washington is getting drove by. And it's just, their offense is fire, but their defense is just can't guard a chair in the gym, you know? I know, like, in February, they were 8-3, the Mavericks were. And Luka averaged, like, 34 points and, like, a triple-double, basically, in February.
Yeah. I think I saw that. I don't remember.
And, exactly what that you know, I guess he's technically a point guard. To me, he's a small forward or shooting guard who plays point guard. But his rebounding is just incredible. Like, he is the best rebounding guard in the league, hands down. And that's his only value defensively at this point, too.
Yeah, which is, it's not great. Because, I mean, I've always been a proponent of rebounds overrated a little bit. And so, at least defensive rebounds. But, I mean, the thing with, you watch the Mavs, it's so, I think, it's so heliocentric. It's so Luka-focused. And I watch him, and I see the stats. I see the play. I'm like, yeah, this guy's amazing. He's doing stuff we never saw.
He's completely in control.
The amount of times I watch him, and I'm like, that's a terrible shot. That no way that's going in. Like, it's not – it's like Kyrie. I think that it's so funny they're on the same team. Because to me, they're almost the same player, but, like, it looks so different. Like, Kyrie, it's so pretty to watch him dribble. Watching him score the basketball.
It looks so pretty, and then he misses. You're like, oh, I thought that was going
so
in.
It's so beautiful. It's and like, and watching his, like, you know, when he, like, drives, and he'll, like, spin in midair and do all these, take this, like, really weird herky-jerky shot that goes in, and you're like, damn, that was beautiful basketball. That was beautiful scoring right there. And then you watch Luka, and it's almost like, it looks like it's his first time ever touching a basketball, and he's just out there, just, doesn't know where he is. But then he finds the perfect pass. The weird shot he takes goes in. And it's all this just weird stuff. It feels like, I don't know. Every single time I watch him, I'm like, this man just picked up a basketball yesterday. But it's amazing. He's incredible. And it's funny that the kind of dichotomy, but you're right. The defense is a major issue. You know, it's the kind of the Carmelo thing a little bit, right? Where Carmelo just refused to play defense, and there was a heavy ceiling on what he was. Now, Luka is offensively better than Carmelo ever was.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's that same issue of, okay, you made the Western Conference Finals, and that was really awesome, but is that the highest you can go? Because at the end of the day, if you're just giving up, you know, if you're, okay, cool, you're scoring 38 a game, but if you're actively responsible for the other team getting, like, 20 points off of you alone, then you kind of have to weigh that impact a little bit. I don't know if maybe making him a more off-ball player would encourage him to play defense, because maybe he'd save his energy a little bit.
Yeah, it does seem like if he puts more effort in, he's better.
Yeah, and like, and at the very least, that's all you can truly ask for is effort. You know, even if the defensive instincts aren't really there, at the very least, if he was trying his hardest on that end, then it'd be harder to criticize. Because, like, well, look, at least he's, because you can, because defense, a lot of defense is effort. A lot of defense is just trying really hard, and, you know, you can do a lot just by caring. And the fact that it seems like a lot of times he doesn't, it's just really frustrating. I thought that Kyrie being on the team would lower his usage rate, but it really hasn't, or at least not significantly.
And Kyrie's killing them on defense.
Yeah.
Like, over and over again, Tobias Harris just roasting him. For some reason, he always cheats into the paint when he doesn't have to and leaves the guy in the corner. It's just extremely frustrating. That's even worse than Cleveland Kyrie. Defensive-wise.
Yeah. It really is. Because it's like, he knows, okay? I think he can just get away with it. And it, ultimately, it doesn't matter. Oh.
Yeah.
You froze a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, you froze too, so we'll just have to keep an eye on that.
38. Okay. I was going to say one more thing. I had one more point. Oh, yeah. I think going into this offseason, assuming that the Mavericks don't make some sort of miracle run and win the finals. I think that they have to take a hard look at, I would say, the coach, because we know Jason Kidd isn't that guy. But I would also say you have to look at this defense. I understand that it can be exciting to put up all these awesome offensive numbers. You have to be able to defend. And I would really consider, I would really consider just trying to get, if you can surround Luka with four really good defenders, then you can try to hide him on someone. You know, I don't know if you have to go out and look. Marcus Smart's probably available. I hate to say it. Marcus Smart, you could probably, I mean, hey, you know, depending on how the Timberwolves season goes, maybe you can get Rudy Gobert. You know, Robert Williams might be available. Maybe you could grab him.
You don't want Robert Williams.
You probably don't want Robert Williams. But even like someone like Matisse Thybul, just somebody who you can just, who can defend, put around him. Hey, if you have to bring in Patrick Beverley, you know, at this point, it's just what I would focus on, because at a certain point, you just have to look around and say, okay, this team has had the same strategy, I would say, for like the past 3 years, which has just been outscore our opponents. Luka will get us there, and we'll just try and win that way. And it hasn't worked every single time. And at a certain point, you got to make a significant change. You got to take a risk. I don't think...
The risk was getting Kyrie.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, but like that's, I think, such obviously not the right risk you should be taking. You know, I understand the talent's there, and I know he's been mostly healthy this season and available, which has been good, but it's not a perfect pairing. It's really not. It's like if you had Dame and CJ, but both players were better than both those players. Like, yeah. Just like a really, really good version of those two.
What, like Steph and Clay?
No.
I know.
Because those two work together, Cam. Yeah, don't you understand? They work together.
Well, and also Clay was a great defender back in the day.
Exactly. You could put Clay on the best offensive player, and you could hide Steph a little bit. That was part of it. And
Steph's now a better defender than he was then.
Yeah. Which he needed to be, and we're happy about that. And you know,
I also wanted to give my flowers to the 76ers without Embiid beating the Mavericks in that game. You know, they had every excuse to fold, and they didn't. They kept the light on. And you know, Tyrese Maxey is awesome. Kelly Oubre has been crazy good for the 76ers.
I love his resurgence so much.
Yeah, me too.
He's such a fun player. Like, he has never been that fun of a player, and now that he's on the Sixers, he's like one of the most fun players. I don't know what it is. He's just so perfect. He's so perfect in their little microcosm.
Well, what game do you want to talk about next?
I did have a game. It is a game. For sure. And it exists.
Good to know.
Which game is it? That's a great question. I definitely had one, though. Oh. It is a little further back. I'm trying to think about it. I remember.
I'm trying to find the game I had, too. Oh, yeah. Well, that's going way back, though. I feel like there's another one.
Oh, that's right. I remember. I wanted to talk Warriors Nuggets, but then it really did not. Oh, you know what? I know what game we could talk about. So, I mean, obviously the Denver Nuggets are a wonderful team. And they're very good. They're kind of on autopilot. But it seems like there's one thing that gets Nikola Jokic out of bed in the morning. It's, we're playing the Lakers today. We're playing the Lakers. I get to beat the hell out of the LA Lakers today. And yeah, he's got a little more pep in his step. I watched that game. It looked great for you guys at the beginning. It looked amazing for the Lakers. I was like, wow, are they going to do this? No. The Denver Nuggets, road goes through Denver. We all know this. The road to the championship goes through Denver. They proved it once again. Spoiling LeBron James' 40K night. But you know, you got to give your hats off to Nikola Jokic. He's that dude. You know, we talk about Luka. You know, he's basically just tall Luka, except he can defend.
It's pretty great. No, and his defense is underrated. Nikola's defense is underrated. Jamal Murray played, even though he was like a game time decision, and he always loves to kill the Lakers. And he was not great in this game, but good enough, obviously. Michael Porter Jr. just couldn't miss a freaking shot. 10 for 10 from the field, 5 for 5 from 3. And, you know, I mean, I swear, every time we go against the Nuggets after the game, I hear some fans, and they're just like, they won't shoot as good next time. They won't shoot as good next time. It's like, they always shoot this good against us. And it's like, the Nuggets, like, beat us every single time. And when we watch it, it just feels hopeless. Like, I don't feel like that against any other team in the league, but just the Nuggets. Just like in the playoffs last year. I mean, I didn't feel hopeless in those games, necessarily. It just felt like that they were almost inevitable, the Nuggets were. And LeBron obviously was hindered, clearly hindered. But this year, I mean, I still am not, I'm not happy with the state of the team. You know, Darvin Ham, it seems like some games he's a good coach and some games he's a bad coach. And there's more of those games where he's a bad coach. There's been reports that LeBron changes the play, every time out of the timeout that Ham draws up. And it's just like, if this is what's happening, just fire him and make LeBron player coach already. Like we've talked about already before, just make it happen. He can do it. He's not afraid of hurting people's feelings. Clearly. Yeah.
I think that would be so fun, honestly.
I think so too, honestly.
If we got a LeBron player coach, like
memes would be as amazing.
It would be so good. It would just be, it would be such amazing content for so many reasons. But I really, I just also like, I don't know. I kind of like, even not even just for content purposes, I do actually really want to see if two things. One, if a player coach could genuinely work in the modern NBA, because I don't think it would, but
anyone could do it.
But like, let's see. Right? Let's see if it would work. Because if it could work, I guess theoretically, it would, LeBron would be the guy that could make it work. And then secondly, it's like, okay, like, could he genuinely do that? Like, could he actually coach? Because obviously there's a lot of talk about like LeBron will probably just go right into ownership once he retires. And he's probably not gonna ever be a coach. You know? And that's totally fine. But, like, I would kind of like to see what LeBron would be like as a coach. And so we're never going to get a full-time coach LeBron James. But it would. But if he could player coach, I almost would want to see what that would be like. Because that's the closest we could get to a full-time LeBron coach. Like, and I don't know. I mean, Darvin Ham, you know, obviously, you're not the only Lakers fan I hear talking about how much they hate him. And at this point,
I don't hate him as much as most, I would say. But yeah, I get the frustration. Not playing D'Lo in the fourth quarter and sticking with Cam Reddish the whole time. Like, what the hell are we doing? D'Lo's been on a heater for like 2 months now, and it hasn't stopped. He's been great. I've never been happier to be wrong about a player in my life than I have with D'Lo this year. And then Vanderbilt's still hurt. And it's just like, I feel like he's so important against the Nuggets specifically. But also just, like, if I could have Jaden McDaniels instead of Vanderbilt, oh, I would be so freaking happy. Oh my gosh. Because he doesn't get hurt, he hits threes, and he defends like a madman just like Vanderbilt. But anyways, let me step back a little bit. LeBron scored 40,000 points, and that's only in the regular season. And I've seen every single point he scored in his entire career. You know, 21 years of my life. I was 10 years old when he got into the NBA. And I'm 31 now. I'm turning 32 in a month, you know. And I'm so grateful that I've been able to experience and be a part of the LeBron bandwagon. I don't care if I'm by myself half the time, especially that first Miami Heat year. But I'm just, you know, I just truly appreciate it. Even, I know we've got four rings, and some would say he's left some on the table. Sure. But like, nobody else has more rings than LeBron right now active in the NBA. Steph is tied with them. Draymond and Klay, obviously. I've been blessed. You know, the Celtics have won championship in the last 21 years, you know.
hey, last 21. Get your math wrong there, buddy. Okay. We lost. I can't do the math right now in my head, but it's sooner than that. 2008.
You had one championship in 2008. Yeah.
We did it.
So, yeah, one chip in the last 21 years. I'm going that, just LeBron's career.
Yeah, and that chip was the very beginning of my basketball life. It was that memory of watching the confetti fall and being like, this basketball thing's pretty cool, huh? Haven't won possible. Yet. Oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
I haven't won since, but we'll get there. This is the year, Cam. This is the year. You peaked
at the beginning.
Yep.
I had to go through some heartbreak before my first championship. And then the second championship I thought wasn't going to happen because it was against the Spurs, and they're down by 4 in the last minute, and then down by 3 with, like, barely any time left, and Ray Allen hits the 3-pointer. I had already thought we lost. I had already thought it was over. And he brought us back. I mean, LeBron did too. Like, he was a madman that fourth quarter when with the Cavs, Heat were down 16 going into the fourth quarter, and LeBron brought them back single-handedly, practically.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
And then also, LeBron has 9,000 points in the playoffs. So he's almost at 50,000 points combined in his career, which, when are we ever going to see anybody approach it? We may not.
It's really pretty amazing.
Most likely will not in our lifetimes. So for that, I appreciate it, LeBron. But now I turn my sights to the Lakers. We've watched LeBron beat Kareem's record in a loss to the Thunder. You unveil Kobe's statue in a loss to the Nuggets. You have LeBron reach 40,000 points, which nobody has ever done. He's the youngest to do it and the oldest to do it. And it's in a loss to the Nuggets. And it's because of the fucking roster construction. Okay? They don't have enough shooters around LeBron. The defense isn't as good as it should be. Some of that is LeBron's fault because he's old. But, like, you shouldn't expect that from LeBron. You need to put defenders around him to cover for him and have enough shooting around him. You don't need anything else. Maybe a little bit of playmaking, and that's it. But I've said this a million times already this year, I feel like.
You've been banging this drum for a while.
Yeah. So
I mean, it's not a hot take. The Lakers, you know, they're not exactly top of the West.
No.
Right now.
They are not losing a ton recently. They've won quite a bit. They have, like, 5 losses and, like, 15 wins in the last, like, 20-something games, something like that. So it's coming around, but it's like they need to make progress and go up the standings, and they probably need to avoid the Nuggets in the playoffs to have a chance. I met with some fellow members of the GOAT team in San Francisco last week, and one of them is a Pistons fan, the other one is obviously a Warriors fan. Shout out to Skanda and Justin. And we're watching the Lakers lose to the Suns. And I'm like, you know, call me crazy, but I still think the Lakers have a chance. And they turned to me like, you're crazy. So, I might be crazy.
You are. But I respect it. I respect it. You know, it's so tough. The West is so jumbled. Because, I mean, you know, theoretically, the Lakers could go on, like, an 8-game win streak and suddenly be the 5 seed. But it's like,
I would take them over so many teams in the West. I would have them over the Warriors. I'd have them beat the Mavericks in a playoff series, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at the standings here real quick.
I think theoretically, the Lakers could do a lot because they have a really strong top two.
Yeah.
They have this incredibly top two.
Yeah, the Thunder are the 1 seed right now. My mistake. I think I said the Timberwolves were, but they're a half game back right now.
Yeah, they've been bouncing back and forth.
Yeah. Lakers are playing the Thunder tonight. I guarantee a Lakers win as long as LeBron plays. Because they have the Thunder's number. The Thunder, they like to get in the paint. We're obviously good about defending the paint. They don't have the bigs to go up against LeBron and AD. Yeah, I would love to see the Thunder in the first round if I was the Lakers. And that's really? Actually possible with their seeding. Yes, I would be super, super stoked if I was going against the Thunder in the first round.
I love that.
Minnesota, I'd probably pick Minnesota because I feel like they're just kind of a better version of what the Lakers have right now. But I think it would be more competitive than people think. Obviously, Denver, I don't want to go against Denver in the first round.
Yeah.
The Clippers, bring it on, man. Bring it on. That would be a freaking crazy awesome series. The Clippers would be favored, but I'm taking the Lakers. I don't care.
That would be a really fun series.
Westbrook can choke. He might be out, actually, for the rest of the year. Well, Harden will choke, and Paul George will choke, and Kawhi will choke. So,
I will say, Kawhi, I don't think, he has not been known as a playoff choker.
No, but when you go against the Lakers, he chokes lately. Not all the time.
That's fair, but we're talking playoffs here. We're talking games that matter.
Okay. Yes.
Kawhi is usually... But I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
Pelicans, I take the Lakers. Kings, that's a tough one. The Kings seem to like going against the Lakers. The Suns, I take the Lakers. Dallas, I take the Lakers. Warriors, I take the Lakers. So I'm looking at all these people above the Lakers, and I only would pick like three of them against the Lakers in the 7-game series. So I'm insane. It's official.
Yes. You are delusional. But completely. We're here, and this is a safe space, and you're allowed to be delusional.
Yes, I am allowed to be delusional. Thank you.
We'll see. You know, I root against the Lakers at basically every turn. That's possible. But I will say that the Lakers versus the Thunder, I think specifically, would be really fun, not just on basketball, like on the court, but the narratives are, I mean, they write themselves. Shea, the new king of the NBA, here we go. He's up against LeBron. He wants to be the king. He wants to be the guy. He's going to have to take down LeBron James to do it and win his first ever playoff series. The narratives are there. I mean, they're there. They write themselves just staring us in the face. Not only Chet, the new big man in town versus AD, you know? Probably getting sunned a little bit by Anthony Davis, most likely, in that series. But, you know, great formative moment. Maybe the team still overcome the fact that AD can just kind of knock Cheddar out the court? And, because he's not very, what's it called? Built.
Thick.
He's a little, he's not quite thick enough to handle Anthony Davis in the post. Yeah,
totally.
But,
Shea has technically won a playoff series before, but he wasn't the star. It was Chris Paul.
They did not win that playoff series. They lost.
They won one playoff series, and then they lost to the Rockets.
No, that was the first round.
Oh, my God. You're right, and I'm wrong.
That's okay. What a game seven that was. We can talk about that series. Oh, what man. A series. What a
I
game
was rooting
seven.
For the Thunder.
Oh, me too.
I wanted the choke.
No, are you kidding me? Oh, they gave Shea the inbound pass. They should have given it to Chris Paul. Look at me. The bubble was awesome.
It was
awesome. I got to say, the bubble was truly some of those memorable basketball of my entire life. I've never in my life have I remembered so many little moments from first round series because of how fucking locked in I was to that bubble.
Second
the
round,
whole
LeBron
bubble.
Sunning Westbrook.
Oh,
incredible.
It was
so trading for him.
It was so good. Everything, the Clippers collapse against the Nuggets. And it's kind of crazy to think about. The Nuggets came back from 2-3-1 series in the bubble.
Yeah.
And now obviously like they got beat by the Lakers. It's so crazy to think about that.
Yeah.
You know, just a couple years later now here they are. Yeah. If you haven't, and you know, honestly, if you want to know more about the NBA bubble, read Bubble Ball by Ben Golliver. Great read.
Yes, such a good book.
Hey, let's go. That's a free plug. He did not pay me to say that. And honestly, he should have. I'm going to ask him for money now. But that's...
Well, we should actually see if he might be willing to come on the podcast sometime.
There we go. Absolutely. Get him on.
Yeah.
You know, Cam, I'm very excited for this upcoming month, the month of March, you know. It's when I think basketball as a whole really starts to peak back up. You know, we get kind of a lull.
Out of the doldrums of February.
I think January and February are kind of a lull in the general basketball sphere.
Yes.
You know, because the new car smell wears off the season.
Yeah.
And everything.
And the games just keep coming.
Yeah. And we have had a lot of fun games. Not to say the games aren't fun, but it's just, you know, we're kind of going through it. Here we go. The Nuggets have been on autopilot basically since January 1st. So, you know, that's kind of where we are. But in March, about halfway through March, it really kicks back up. Here we go. March Madness. I want to say, just really quick, you know, I'm not a big college basketball guy. I don't really pay much attention. As Bill Simmons says, he's only a college basketball fan in March, mm-hmm. and then he's not anymore. And that's kind of how I operate as well.
Same.
Or I'm not a huge college sports guy in general, but
honestly,
I love the tournament.
I think being plugged in makes you worse at March Madness.
Well, yeah, because honestly, those brackets, it really does feel like just pure luck. Because so many things don't make sense that happens throughout the tournament.
Totally.
But that's why we love the tournament, because there's so many upsets. There's anything can happen.
Yes.
You know, I absolutely love it. It's truly, as a basketball fan, even if you don't like the college game, it's still just, it's some of the best basketball. It's such high stakes, emotional basketball. It's so fun.
The best part is the first 2 days or 4 days when they do the first two rounds.
Oh,
and it's just constant basketball. You go to the bar and there's a million games on, and all of them are ending in crazy fashion. And your bracket in your hand, and you're, some people are like crying because their bracket's already busted. Other people I called this upset.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you'll have like five blowouts, but you'll have like two like insanely close games. It's basketball day.
It took a couple of years, but I finally got my friends to do March Madness with me, and they're like, but I don't know anything. I'm like, that helps. And literally, so we played for 2 years in a row. My buddy Chase won 1 year and never paid attention to college basketball. Then his wife never watched a minute of college basketball, won the next year. So it's been in the same household. The championship bells have been in the same household for 2 years.
Wow.
So we've got to stop that this year. I'm going to actually add you to the pool this year with us.
Oh, let's go. Absolutely.
Yeah,
add me.
For sure.
Oh, I'll win it. Let's go.
Oh, awesome.
I've read
your girlfriend too. We do with our wives.
Okay. No, we'll bring her in. Listen,
awesome.
I've read like one article about the teams catching up. I'm an expert. I'm in on Purdue this year. Let's go.
When
Purdue.
I do my bracket, I do one without reading anything first.
Yeah.
And then I go to the Ringer or something. I read a couple of articles and I do another one.
Okay. No, I just, every year, I just look up, I just read a few articles. I'll watch maybe a couple highlights. I'll like, okay, these are the best teams. And then I'll look at the draft people, be like, okay, these are the best prospects. And I'll just kind of cross-reference it.
That's not going to help you this year because there's no amazing prospects. So.
Yeah. I listen, and then I just go, hey, I'm going to pick a team. This year, I pick Purdue. Purdue's winning.
All right.
Let's go. Okay.
I'm holding you to it.
That's what I decided. I decided it. I went all basically strictly off vibes. Just here we go. Let's
awesome.
Go. I got to stand with my big guys. You know, they got this really tall senior out there. I got to stand with my big
senior?
Fellas. I think I don't know. I read one article. It didn't mention.
He's a 7'3" guy or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
He's tall.
Yeah,
big man.
Yeah. I think they lost in the first round last year.
This year it's what it is. Here we go. But yeah, I do. I'm excited that we're going to cover the tournament this year on this very podcast.
That's right.
Okay.
Big market. March Madness bias.
Big conference bias. There we go. Thanks for tuning in to Big Conference Market NCA. I know. Okay.
All right. No, don't do that.
I tried there. It didn't work. We'll scrap it. We'll just do it. It's fine. We tried. Thanks for tuning in to Big Market Bias. If you have any strong opinions on anything we said here today, please email us at biggermarketbias@gmail.com. If you hear a credible NBA analyst with a prediction, please send that in to us as well. Have a great weekend, everyone. Peter and Cam signing off.